Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in. And now, on to the KevCast.
Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I am your host, Kevin Winder. That's right. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad you're tuning in. Thanks so much for taking time to listen to this. I know so many of you are telling me where and how you listen to it. And I'm so grateful for each person who tunes in. I just want you to know that if you have questions, you have feedback, you have thoughts, maybe you'd like to contribute to the discussion, feel free to reach out to me, email me, call me, reach me somehow. I am available. You can always find my contact information on my newsletter or on my website. But I just want to hear from you. I'd love to hear your comments. In fact, so many of you have been kind of commenting about what is happening in the news with leading up to, September 24th, right? That is the day when the world was supposed to come to an end. And I've had so many good conversations about eschatology, which is, it's a big $10 word for looking at the end times, end things. How is the world going to end, right? And it gets really interesting. Now, today I am going to start, because of all these conversations, a series that talks about eschatology, the end times. What's really going to happen? Are we really headed toward Armageddon? Is this eastern sky going to roll up like a lampshade and a giant Jesus come down with a giant horn blasting, rapture everybody with a chrome fish on the back of their car, take them all to heaven, and then unleash just unparalleled evil on the world? Is that what's going to happen? I mean, if you listened to 99% of modern Christianity, this is what they believe. Now, they may not say so, but that's what they believe. And what I mean by that from an eschatological perspective is that most Christians are what they call pre-tribulation, premillennial Christians. And that's because this is the common eschatology given to Christians for the last 100 years, thanks to Darby, an English theologian who came around about 100 years ago. But that's not always the way things have believed. And so we are going to dive in and really look at some of the big themes. And I'm hoping this will challenge your thinking. If you're a Christian and you kind of hang on to these, theories, this is for you. If you're not a believer and you've always kind of wondered, why are Christians so out there when it comes to this? Why are they just waiting, looking up at the sky like this rapture is imminent? Well, this series is for you. And like I said, September 24th was supposed to be the end of the world. I mean, according to the David Mead, who is obviously a seriously flawed, and he names himself a Christian numerologist, theoretically, a planet called Nibiru, which NASA says does not exist, by the way, it was going to collide with Earth and usher in the end of the world. So the rapture was going to happen. Then all hell should be breaking loose right now all over the world, according to this guy's very twisted interpretation of scripture. You see, he thought he could just mathematically find some hocus pocus in the numbers of scripture and then calculate it out, put it a date down and say, this is a hidden code that Jesus told me about, and now I got to get my word out. Now, Mead is not the first doomsday preacher, and they're kind of on a continuum. Some of them are more extreme than others, right? He's just one in a big, long parade of doomsday preachers that have preyed upon naive people throughout all of history. And listen, not all doomsday preachers are foolish enough to put a date on their speculations, but don't mistake the fact that they're doomsday preacher. if you're sitting in a church service and they're talking about how the end of the world is coming soon and you need to get saved and start giving your money to the church, then you're listening to a doomsday preacher, right? Not everybody's going to put a date on that. And they're smart not to put a date on it. Those like Meade, who calculate mathematically the return of Jesus, they gain a tremendous following and interest as the date arises, right? Because everybody's like, hey, maybe this is true. Maybe this is BS, you know. Let's find out. Let's tune in, right? And so these people generate tons of subscribers and tons and tons and tons of dollars. Then, of course, the date comes by and they say, oh, gosh, I miscalculated. But what it really means is this. And stay tuned for more. And what's amazing is that all of those followers still follow them. That's the amazing part. Now, this is interesting because, you know, when it passes, instead of calling bullshit, which is the term I learned in seminary for false prophets, okay, most people just wait for the next tagline. And this is how frauds like this Meade continue to exist. And there's a huge confusion about what is going to happen to the ends of times. And we have to see the belief that lies just beyond our belief in the end times. You see, the reason we believe so tenaciously in the end times is because we're holding tenaciously even stronger to a belief that it needs to be bad. Because no one has ever given us any reason to see it as something other than that. See, the recipe that Meade and all of these modern-day doomsday evangelicals use, it fits on a continuum. Some are very extreme, some are less extreme, but most won't lay claim to a particular day and time, but all will use the same fear-based play. And that fear-based play is, you know, hey man, Jesus is coming back with a giant can of whoop-ass, and so you better be ready. And ready means join our system, enroll in our classes, right? It follows a very predictable process. Here's the process. Claim to be a prophet of God with a special anointing that gives you special knowledge that nobody else seems to see, right? You become the prophet, self-appointed sometimes. And once you have special knowledge that nobody else can see, everybody seems to just adopt you as the prophet. Next, tap into the most pre-rational beliefs that a person has, those deep-down tribal beliefs that still reside in many modern people. You have to leverage pain and suffering by continually diminishing the world and showing people, constantly advertising how the world is on a downward course. It's getting worse. It's getting bad. Things are getting horrible out there, right? It has to be a shitstorm on the horizon that is going to make you move into this deeper belief because it's preying on your tribal, pre-rational belief. Next, this is an important one. If they don't seem to believe that, use the daily news to draw parallels to your Bible prophecy. This is textbook. Textbook. Every doomsday preacher does this. They pull out something that was written thousands and thousands of years ago. And they say, see, it's now coming true. Just see how this ties into the evening news. They use math. They use science. To make their point, but they never ask a real mathematician or a real scientist. Isn't that ironic? You know, NASA said, hey, Nibiru doesn't exist. I'm sure Meade had something to say about that. Oh, well, he's just part of the cover-up plan, I'm sure. The next thing you got to do is you have to exploit a belief in Satan, the adversary, the devil, as the cause of this darkness, right? You have to paint the picture that everybody in the world doesn't see it, but this prophet does see it. And so the suffering, the pain, the confusion of the world is all because Satan has darkened the world. and darkened the eyes of everybody. This is how it rolls, right? This is how it always plays out. And then you have to show Satan, you have to tie Satan to either a political, a commercial, or religious framework. So once Satan is tied to politics or something you hate, like religion or, you know, big business, big politics, then you are much more likely to believe these things. And once a person sees scripture as they interpret it, this prophet interprets it, playing out in the daily news, then their belief becomes mostly about self-preservation and evacuation. Mark my words, almost every one of these is an evacuation strategy. It is painted as though it's love and benevolence. Hey, we want you to come with us. We want you to be a part of this. Remember all those people that drank the Kool-Aid and died because they were trying to go on the Tailbop comet or whatever? Same message. Same message. Don't miss out. This is real. This is going to happen. Buy in now so that you don't lose out later, because later when it gets so bad, you're going to miss out. You see this? It's just preying on your fear. And this raises distrust in anyone who doesn't share this special tribal belief. You see, it has to work based upon us versus them. Us versus them is tribalism in its raw form, right? We're the good ones. They're the bad ones. We're the ones who are enlightened. They're the ones who are deceived. We're going on God's team. We're going to pick Jesus. Everybody else is on the Satan's team. This is the rhetoric that gives doomsday preachers power. This is what is behind this medicine ball inside of eschatology, inside of everybody's eschatology. We all have one. We all have a theory about how things are going to end. But you see, at this point, the next phase in this process is that you have to join the effort, because you already believe. You already believe. I mean, you saw it in the news. It must be true, right? This guy is just amazing. This person just can do things other people haven't seen. And you have to join the effort, which is just their way of saying now support, buy their books, buy their programs, support their propaganda. You know, and your money will follow your belief every time, just like mine does. And once you pay, you are so much more likely to believe anything that says, and they will take you deeper. They will tell the story in a new way more and more to keep you buying more programs, tuning in and listening. Now, it may be that they think all that. And you may be sitting there saying, Kevin, you're just a cynic. I'm concerned for you, Kevin. You seem to not have the sensitivity about how things are going bad or whatever it is. Well, I didn't get here overnight. I once believed all of this stuff. I used to sit here on TV when I was younger and watch, the Van Impies going through countless scripture verses and news articles showing how Jesus is coming any minute. So repent and send us your money. It's the same cake with different frosting. And it's all out there, but I have learned something, and I'm going to share it with you, and I hope you learn it too. You see, my issue is not so much with the false prophet, because life is full of them. And think about it. Almost every product you buy is a false prophet in some sort, because it never really delivers as advertised. You see, the issue is how tenaciously we cling to the world going into the shitter. I mean, we really want it to believe that it's that bad. And here's how I know, because I'm going to show you something completely opposite, a positive framework, a positive eschatology that's actually showing the world getting better and progressing towards unity. And you will be tempted to reject it. Many, many, many of you will flat out reject it. So I'm priming your attention now. get ready. We're going to someplace positive, not someplace negative. And guess what? I'm going to use the scriptures in a way that makes sense to get us all there. You see, we need, though, the culture needs everything to get bad. But why? You see, people are not stupid. I'm not here being cynical and casting dispersion on people who believe these things and saying, well, you're just stupid. I'm not. What I'm saying is that we're immature. There's areas that we just don't quite understand. And part of the reason is we just don't know our Bibles. And part of the reason is we don't have any coaches and teachers and pastors and Bible teachers who are actually teaching us this. And so, you know, an adult can manipulate a child because the child lacks the necessary categories of understanding. In the same way, a doomsday prophet, a false prophet, can manipulate an adult because that adult lacks certain pieces of understanding. And so when it comes to eschatology, when it comes to the end times, most people are simply children lacking understanding. You're not stupid. And so I want to offer something that is profoundly helpful, I hope. I hope you'll see that the message of Scripture is really just to grow up and avoid such nonsense. That's in Luke 8:14, 1 Corinthians 2. I mean, there's so many verses. Just read this blog and you'll get all the verses. You can go look them up. You see, but most of us don't really know what the Bible says. We just trust whoever's teaching us the Bible is understanding it. Very few actually went to study it. And if you did, and you tried to look up in the Bible all the places where everything is going to turn into this kind of weird Harry Potter kind of, you know, supernatural, you know, events of global destruction, excuse me, you'd struggle to find those pieces. Now, I'm often asked about my eschatological beliefs. So I've decided to do this series that I hope will deconstruct some of the pre-rational belief patterns that we've imported into our faith. You know, Scripture does indeed talk about the end of the world, but it isn't what modern Christianity has sold us. The new world actually emerges the very moment that the old framework gives way to the new framework. Something new emerges from the inside out. Now, it may surprise you to learn that the Scripture does not encode some secret message. It doesn't predict the future worldwide destruction of everything we know. In fact, the book of Revelations is just that. It's a revealing. It's a revelation. It's not a concealing. It's not a cryptic message of Harry Potter-type magical future events. And I'm sorry for all of those out there who are charging up their credit cards thinking that Jesus will be coming soon, so I won't have to pay those off. It may surprise you to learn that we are not heading toward a worldwide Armageddon as we've been taught. It might surprise you that the biblical trajectory of the world is actually toward restoration, not destruction. And, you know, for those of you who are out there saying, Kev, have you even seen the news lately? You know, you got Kim Jong-il and Trump in this, you know, pissing contest with their nuclear weapons. Listen. Suppose the USA and North Korea launch a nuclear war next week and it destroys the earth as we know it. We're all just vapor. The only thing true about the prediction that found in Scripture is that the war began on the heart level. This is not a proof that, you know, prophecy came true and now there's a nuclear war. Our pollution of our country, our destruction of our material world is not proof of an Armageddon prophecy. It's proof that we have lost the battle in our soul and now are bearing a global consequence. You see, the inside and the outside of our humanity are not distinct, but they're two aspects of one macrocosm. I mean, separating the inside and the outside world stems from the tribal belief that the world is evil. It's under the control of Satan. And many, many, many Christians believe that. When Jesus himself says, don't call evil what is good. The attitude of many is, well, why should I care for the world if it's just going to all burn anyway? I was at one conference with pastor and he led the prayer by saying, Lord, we know that this world is a giant dump heap and you hate it. I'm not exaggerating, people. It's that bad. Do you see how these deeply ingrained pre-rational ideas have horrible consequences? And it's time that we all become brutally honest about our beliefs. Now, this series is going to illuminate our prejudices. It will show us our biases. It's going to call out our lack of understanding that we call and present to others as our faith. Right? Have you realized that? A lot of these doomsday preachers are just calling the faith simply their prejudices. Oh, they hate Islam, so they feel justified in saying that's an evil, horrible, terrible religion. Oh, are there evil, horrible, terrible people in Islam? Absolutely. Same thing in Christianity, same thing in atheism, same thing in everything. The religion itself is not the thing. It's that which is going on within the heart and the soul of the individual that makes it so evil. You see, we need to cut out the tumors and grow up. And that is what this series is planning to do. Now, a profoundly optimistic future awaits us once we break free from our formative containers, once we lay hold of the truth that has been right before us all along. That is, and always has been, the promise of the gospel.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.